I am unashamed. What about you?
We'll start at noon.
Because I'd never heard
Let me just get into it. But I can give you what my lesson was yesterday.
All right, Jace, you'll do it.
Yesterday.
You tell that story. All right, let's do it.
I mean, I got a lot of stuff. I'll get to that eventually.
Oh, Jace, it sounds like he's all itching to go here.
Yeah.
Well, he's been doing a lot of photo shooting and
No, I did do that yesterday.
What was that about?
My wife, she's like, hey, are you going metal detecting today? Because I had been out of town because I did my first event of the year. You know, I take duck season off and enjoy that. That's over. And so then I start doing my events. I loaded up on February and March. So
I noticed that. I saw your schedule.
I was in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and I didn't know anything from Cape Girardeau except for when we used to sell duck calls. I remember they'd have all the Walmart stores listed. And you would look at, you know, who's number one. I mean, where's our duck call selling? Well, Cape Girardeau, Missouri was frequently number one, and it was always in the top 10. So when the event request came, you know, my assistant, she processes all these events. I saw that Cape Girardeau. I said, I'm in. But it was really hard to get to. It's kind of like Monroe, because it's right there with the Mississippi River.
So you're referring to the speech you just gave.
Yeah, I gave it Friday night.
I got you.
So the preacher calls and says, hey, I got a plane. You know, that'll help with your schedule. I'll come down there and get you. So I was like,
come on.
Perfect.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, he pulled up out there, and I looked, and I thought, because my first thought was crop duster. You know, it's pretty good ways to Cape Girardeau.
I get a little worried about
and
it.
Your ride is akin to a crop duster?
Yeah. I looked at my assistant, and her eyes just got big.
Ooh,
and
that
I
makes
said,
me
well,
nervous.
We fixed to see where your faith is at right here. Because we're going to do the Lord's
but
work.
But it had an enclosed canopy. It wasn't like you
it
ride along
there
with
but
your
once
hair
you
blowing.
Sit down, you can't move. It was one of those.
Yeah.
It's like
from
you
fear
can't...
or just from the way the
no,
semantics of the aircraft.
Yeah, the aircraft. It is.
It's about like that rig we went in with the Samaritan's Purse. Remember that one up in Alaska?
Sometimes,
well, I'll tell you
Jace,
this.
Sometimes, Jace, it takes faith even to get on your ride.
Are we going to do this or not is what I was thinking. I mean, in fact, the last time I was on this type of plane, you know, you wear earphones because you do it because if you don't, the sound is so loud
you can't even hear
my head's been ringing for a couple of days since I got off the thing, but anyway.
Was the preacher driving the plane or did he have
a pilot? He said he drove on the way down here. He said, but to help calm our fears, he had
why would he think there would be any fear involved up on you?
Because he maybe was
we're gonna ride 3 hours in a crop duster. Yeah. That's basically what it was. But he had acquired a veteran in the Air Force military who's a believer. He said, I got him to help overcome your fears. And I thought, well, that's working.
But the good news is most of the time you could land that on just a dirt trail down beside a field.
Oh, you could.
You could go on in there.
You know what I found fascinating about that plane is because he looked up because I was trying to get in. I mean, this is the kind you get on the plane to the wing.
Yeah.
To get in.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And
by the way, while you're there, I'll tell you a good story. When I was about 12, 14 years old, I went out there and I was walking across a cotton patch. You know, they had all kind of pesticide. No wonder we act kind of funny from time to time. But this plane started spraying that field about the time I got out in the middle of it.
Uh-oh.
Well, here's one lone little boy walking across his field.
And he's
barefooted,
just spraying it.
And he's spraying it. Well, look. I heard the thing. I heard it kind of belch a little bit when he came down and came up on me. It was missing. I said, "Okay, I'm standing there at 13 years old." I said, "Well, that's all of that. A little smoke coming out of it." And look, he just comes right down beside the field on the turn row.
Yeah.
And I thought he was crashing. I said, "Well, he's going down. I'll go over and say,
you're
I'm
just watching
him
the show. You're
watching. Well, if it gets on fire, I'll try to pull him out of there." So I'm kind of running over toward him when he's going down. Well, he bounces about three times on the turn row and shuts it down. This dude gets out, you know. He gets on out, you know. had a crescent wrench in his hand. He fumbled around a little bit, come out with a wrench.
Did he see you? Or
yeah, I was standing over there watching.
Yeah.
And he looked around at me, he didn't say anything.
Might not know how to play in this stuff that I'm spraying.
Well, what I'm saying, yeah.
Maybe that was good information.
He's got a crescent wrench in his hand, and he gets up under the thing or up under where the propeller is, and he messed around there about a few minutes, and I'm standing over there looking. Look, he fired the thing back up, and he took off, and I went on across the field. I looked around. He just went back to spraying.
What I'm saying is,
I mean,
it's probably just, a believer.
He might have been.
Well, look, the last
shuts
time.
Shuts it down, gets a wrench out, goes up under it, gets back in it, fires it up, and takes off again.
So, you know, I like to wear hats. I usually wear a hat on the podcast because I usually wear a hat. So Lisa claims, because I got a little balding spot in the middle, she has a theory, and there's nothing, there's, you know, she's not a doctor, you know, so she doesn't have any training, but she has a theory that hats make you lose your hair.
Well, I don't know what.
Well, here's why. So here's how she says she proves it. Because every time a golfers wear hats, almost, you know, all of them do, that she says they pull off their hat, and they're young men, they're almost always bald or losing their hair.
I've worn a hat my whole life.
Well, which is what I would say.
A hat is a hairnet to me. That's right. What she would call a hairnet.
Right.
Because if I don't have this hat on, I can't see anything. I'd have a wreck driving down here.
Well, you do have a sort of a Captain Caveman thing going on there with all the hair and the...
Look, if I do this, look, I can't see anything.
Have you ever thought about just like trimming it back a little on the front side? Do you have to just like have the...
No, I'm saving time, saving money.
I mean, that's...
Perfectly brushed.
I mean, Dad's doesn't look like that. At least kind of goes to the side a little.
If I'm going through the woods and I want to get real close to any animal, I just take my hat off. Just ease through there. I just look like just a brushy wind.
Animals have learned the thing they're afraid of the most is of a human being's face.
Yeah,
that's what scares them. Man or animal, that's right. How you spot them way off. You look, their faces stand out.
That's why the bald spot from the air,
especially if you're Caucasian.
Look, think about it. If a duck's flying, he could see that bald spot from the moon.
But that's why
they're not coming in.
Caucasians, this stands out in the brush.
So I guess you're right. So here's the deal. We got a company called Keeps because they want to help you. So especially for those early in their hair loss, to be able to keep as much hair as possible. So they basically done some studies. They've come up, they realize it's a lack of hormone. There is some genetics, but there's a lack of hormone involved is what can help you grow some hair. They've had like 66% success rate. So that's pretty good. 2 out of every 3 guys that tries this, especially when you're first losing your hair, it's Keeps. And so the way you do this is you'll go to their website, which is keeps.com/door. And then they're going to have a medical consult and all the ways you can check this out to figure out if this helps you to not lose your hair. Because we don't want you flaring ducks from the moon, apparently. So keeps.com/door. Get your 50% off your first order. Check it out. Keeps.com/door. And you can look like Jace. You can just like have flowing hair maybe. So if you want that.
That makes me think, you know, you might be a redneck if you're stopping your plane to adjust it with a crescent wrench to get it back going.
Or you
again.
Might be a redneck if you're standing out in a field being sprayed by pesticides.
Well, it's like Mike.
This was way pre-cell phone, about all he could have had was a walkie-talkie. So it wasn't like I could call in and tell him. He's just out there on the edge of a field.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say he probably didn't have a walkie-talkie. But look, you know, week before last when Mike preached, he got up there and I think he was trying to be funny, and he was telling this story.
Preacher joke?
Yeah, but he was telling a story about on his honeymoon, he went to Six Flags, and I thought, you might be a redneck if you went to Six Flags on your honeymoon. And why are you telling me that now? Because I'm feeling really uncomfortable about your decision-making.
The connection.
You're going to talk to me about life, and you took your wife to Six Flags?
Well, he started out the story, though, and he's from North Arkansas, so you know, take it for what it's worth. But he told the story that first he stopped in Shreveport. He didn't know what a hotel reservation was. He's like, hey, I need a room. They're like, well, we're full. So these guys, Brad, out there in the car.
Where's he from?
He's from like Pocahontas, Arkansas.
Pocahontas, Arkansas.
So, you know, there's
he's trying to find a bed, but can't come up with one.
Well, right. So he wound up, he didn't want to spend his whole dough on the expensive hotel. So he had to wind up. That was the beginning of the story. I can't say anything.
I took my wife on our honeymoon to Hawaii, and I had $600. Well, we've been to Hawaii.
I was going to say, that got you through the first day.
No, that got me through the first hour.
I looked around. Now we're out of money and we're
out of money. Welcome to marriage. Then I get strep throat. I have no money. I'm sick.
And you were too young to rent a car. So he's like, he had to wait, 5 days till he turned 21?
Yeah, they wouldn't rent him a car.
Jace, the longer you talk, the more I'm beginning to understand why the left-wingers are calling us the deplorables. Yeah. Because it's just a little crude.
Well, I tell you what I had.
Outside of knowing Jesus.
So you had $600 away. I had $100 that Paul gave me, $100 bill. And then we were in Shreveport for the weekend. And I had to pay for the room, the food. So we ate at Popeye's and McDonald's for every meal, and then the rest of the time, of course, we never left the room. Well, so that was
my best meal was Wendy's.
He's kind of the centerpiece because, you know, instead of Make America Great Again, Al has a red Trump-like hat on that says Make Marriage Great Again.
There you go. You like that? That's pretty good.
Well, you didn't come in on my show.
You have your work cut out for you, Al.
Look. Y'all need Jesus.
Y'all need Jesus.
Yeah.
We're the kind, Missy.
This is my wife's shirt for what she does at her.
And the little hash, the way you call
well,
it.
Well, she put that so she wouldn't
offend
anybody.
We all do.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I like it.
So, look, the last time I got, they hate us.
Last
time I got on one of these planes, the last time that was the exact plane, I had the earphones on. And so I'm listening to the air traffic control. They're like, because you're hearing all the banter back and forth, so it's kind of interesting. There's just nonstop.
You know,
them
27 clear for takeoff.
You're good to go right now. All right, you're sailing. So they're doing all that. Well, then I heard all of a sudden somebody say something about an emergency landing.
See, that's that.
And I'm like, well, this is cool. I'm listening to somebody have an emergency landing. You know, well, I looked over at my young pilot who was about 25, and he had turned 5 times wider than he started. And I thought, oh, we're having the emergency landing. Because we had just taken, that was his voice saying, I need an emergency landing. Because I felt the plane go, what happened? The fuel pump had gone out, which I didn't know what happened. So look,
this was the other day?
No, this just made me think of us the last time I got on one of these.
I got you.
And so at that moment, you got on another one.
Well, kudos.
I'm getting to the end of this story. By the time the podcast would be done, I guess. But so I look back at Missy because she was with me, but she didn't have the earphones on, and she's smiling, and so I just thought, well, I don't want to break this to her, you know, because I was going to have, like, my final words, but I thought, she's all happy.
What if you fix to die? No use in telling your wife you fix
to
die.
So I went there, and then I just thought, how do I feel about this? And I thought, okay, I'm ready. I feel fine. You know, I wasn't terrified. But I could tell that pilot, he was terrified. His hands were shaking. And so we just made a little loop, and we literally – just like, you know, like what I picture was, you know, when a gadwall makes his mind up he's coming in
straight
the hole.
Down.
We went straight down. I literally felt something, you know, leave my chest. It just straight down. Well, I looked at Missy, and now she's looking like, what are we doing? We just took off.
With a swoop like that, what was leaving your chest, son, was your air.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because I thought, I'm going to need that. But look, we just kind of went, soom, and then he pulled it up a little bit, and we just landed. There was no coming in.
So he was landing without engine.
We just dropped.
You didn't roll to a halt. It was a halt when you got there.
It was a drop, a check, and then it was a bounce. We bounced about 3 or 4 times.
Bump, 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 bump.
And he grinned. And I was like, well, that was fun. You know, I mean, then because it was over, we made it. Well, that was actually perfect because then we had to get home and we wound up renting a car. Well, this guy wasn't a believer. Well, after that experience.
No wonder he was so scared.
I got 5 hours of explaining why I was so calm and you were not.
It was awesome.
But anyway.
You usually can convert people right after an incident like that.
Yeah, that's what I've
heard. Their heart's more open.
Well, he had questions in it, you know, and how the light, you know, what the biggest changes are in life. I could tell he was like, you know.
But I like your approach better than Willie's, because anytime I get on a small plane with Willie, he says, all right, boys, just so you know, this thing goes down and we all die. Here's the way it's going to go down. Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty was killed today, and 6 others. Just know where you stand.
So typical Willie.
That's Willie's. I was like, who would say that? You know, this is my brother.
Well, I tell Willie all the time. I said, I don't know how you got in that door. He's like, I was like, well, your head's gotten so big. Yeah. He just looks at me. So you get to
where you're going, and you gave the speech.
Yeah, we get up, and you know what? Actually,
I love it when Dad's getting us back on track.
It was a smooth ride. I give the speech, and then I ran off with the Marshall boys because they had acquired a bunch of duck hunting property. We go out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, you saw this, the place where they?
Oh, yeah. I went.
What do you think?
Oh, it's a hot hole. You know, I realize why Cape Girardeau.
It's an island in the middle of the Mississippi River or Ohio River?
The Ohio River was where he was at, but it's right there close to the Mississippi River, and I'm just saying the whole place was underwater. His camp's on a knoll, and you're looking for miles. You're surrounded by water.
The water's up right now, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's coming up, just zooming, and ducks. So anyway, we stayed up half night, you know, and then I got back on the plane, come back, and no problem. But I did realize because now I'm so into worship music, that, you know, one of my fears as a kid was heights. You know, I brought up Six Flags. I mean, the first time I went, because I thought it was going to be fun, the first time I got on a roller coaster, I'm like, I'm out on this. I didn't realize I was scared of heights till I went to Six Flags. I'm like, oh, no, I'm scared of heights. But what got me over my fear of flying was that 1 Thessalonians 4 when it says we don't grieve like the rest of men, have no hope. And then it goes through that scenario. We believe Jesus died and was rose again, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And I remember reading that thinking, I'm going to have to get over my fear of flying.
And
because this is everything my faith relies on is me actually flying. So I just made a decision right there. I thought, I'm not going to be scared to fly. If I'm going to share Jesus, and by the way, there was 1,200 men. It was a men's event in Cape Girardeau. I didn't even know the population was that high. Yeah. There was 1,200 men sold out. So I shared Jesus. And I thought, you know, if I go down sharing Jesus, it's something like this. I mean, Lord's in control.
Because it's really
not worse.
It's really not a fear of flying. It's a fear of dying. I mean, the only reason you have a...
I don't know. When I get high up, I feel woozy.
Oh, no, I hate it. I hate to fly. You know, people say, oh, I love this. I hate it. But I don't have a fear of death, and I'm like you. So what happens is with me, I say, you know what? If I'm on my way to speak to people about Jesus, well, that's the ultimate place to go. I mean, like, if you die, it's like I'm a martyr. They're going to say, what was he doing, you know, going to a party? No, he was going to preach
Jesus. By the way, I know this is a crazy question.
Yeah.
But I have some earphones on here.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing what y'all are saying without these on.
Yeah.
So why would I put these on?
Well, just to hear your volume, hear if you're too loud or you're too soft.
That's why when people listen to our podcast, they say something's wrong with the sound. There's nothing wrong with the sound. It's because you're so far away from the mic, then you get back to it, you see?
Now, can you hear the mic?
But this does not bring me any closer to the microphone.
I know. So now talk with them on.
Now talk.
Testing 1, 2, 3, kind of like hollow sound.
Okay, right.
but you can hear your level.
If you move back, then you can't hear as well. So that's telling you move closer to the mic. I'm glad we're having this conversation.
I love that we're having it on the podcast.
Because that way people can quit sending me emails saying, would you tell your dad to get closer
to the
mic?
You have to remember, I usually back away as if it were a cotton mouth. High-tech gadgetry. I'm dubious
about
it. I don't know.
Somehow we've noticed that.
Some people fear flying. Some people fear high-tech gadgets.
So one of the things we talk about, another thing with the internet, is it is a dangerous place for our children. There's so much stuff out there that's bad. You know, I mean, there's predators. There's You know, even the social networking concept, as Jay's found out in his own family, can turn into a bad deal. Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know,
they're just not mature enough to handle it. It would be like taking, you know, your young kid and sending them to a college university at an early age, not necessarily for the education, but just the experience of everything that's going on. Well, they're just not old enough, mature enough to make good decisions. So one of the worst things
you are illuminating the fact that why I never fooled with the thing.
Correct. And so here
I just looked at it and said, I just don't think.
But here's what happens, Dad. So you didn't have a problem with our generation because it wasn't available yet. The problem is with Jason and I, and for me, it's my grandkids, they know way more about this stuff than I know.
That's right.
Now, to Jason's credit, he's found out what he needed to know because he's got teenage kids. I'm telling my adult children, you've got to know this stuff because your kids are coming along. So we need help is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you've got to roll up your sleeves and look at ways to protect your house and your kids and those you love.
That's right. So I got good news. We got a group called Circle. Which Circle Home Plus is what they're called. But basically, they come up with an app that's going to help you to be able to block things that your children see and don't see. You block it your whole home, which is really powerful. And so we have it. It's fantastic.
Is much needed.
It's much needed. Because, look, a guy like me, unless somebody shows me how to plug it up in my house, I don't know what they're on.
Oh, yeah, look, we've got so many blocks. Even on our TV, half the time I'll go to try to watch something that's not bad, and I can't get it. I'm blocked because Missy has changed the code, and I'm like, what are the numbers? I can't remember. But you know what? These are good problems because I'm trying to, and she's trying to protect, you know, our family, especially the immature
and what we see and don't see.
That we see, yeah.
So anyway, it Circle Home Plus plugs straight into your router. You download the app. You can keep track of everything across every connected device, laptops, phone, tablet, TV, everything, because now we're connected, you know, to everything. So it's really good. It helps you to protect your family. So now if you go to if you go to meetcircle.com/unashamed, meetcircle.com/unashamed, you get a limited offer of $30 off this first, you know, deal to get your Circle Home Plus just for going and checking it out. So it's meetcircle.com/unashamed. Use unashamed at checkout, and you'll be able to save yourself $30, but more importantly, a way to protect your family. So if you're like me, especially my generation, you're not exactly sure how to do this, go there, check out the website, and do it quickly because you need it, trust me.
So they have a choice, either meet Circle, like you're you're advising people to do,
correct,
or take the thing and throw it in the river, and you're done with it.
That's an option.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your options. Throw them all in the river.
I never fool with it to begin with, so I don't have to worry about this. But so most people do fool with it. So you need to meet Circle and get some protection.
I love it. Or throw them all your devices in the river. So you decide.
So let me finish my story. So I wind up getting back, but I don't sleep.
We just had podcast 101.
So I get back Saturday at like 2 o'clock. Well, I immediately go to sleep. I hadn't slept or eaten in over 24 hours. And so I sleep half the day. Well, then I can't sleep Saturday night, so I wound up studying, doing my lesson for our worship class. I went to bed at like 5:30, got up at 7. And so then my wife is like, well, why don't you go metal detecting? You've been on the road, you know? And I'm like, why does she want me to go metal detecting? Uh-oh. Well, she wanted me to go out to our plantation and take pictures. Yeah.
The ulterior motive.
So I thought that was weird. Are you going to go metal detecting today? I was like, well, I didn't plan on it. Well, I think you should. Oh, and while you're out there, let's take some pictures.
That's exactly what happened. That's the 101 there. That's pretty
See,
good.
See, do you want me to give the lesson I gave? Well, or do sure we want to talk about John? I really wanted to
Let's talk about this. We got another podcast to do. So, okay. But I will say this to tie up the other thing. Just when you were talking about getting on that plane, as I've gotten older, I've gotten like super claustrophobic. So when you were just saying that, I mean, I was like,
assistant, look, she was, which is.
Can I got a small one coming to get me in?
Which is family. She's Missy's aunt. I didn't want people to think I'm gallivanting across the country with another woman.
Yeah.
I am, but she's family. Look, that's what she said. She said, I feel so claustrophobic.
Yeah. It just kind of makes me feel creepy.
But I was like,
I gotta get
well,
over
look,
it,
if you'll
I got
put
one
on
coming.
This worship music,
yeah.
It's actually exhilarating
yeah.
to do something that you used to fear, but now you're overcoming it because you believe in the resurrection. You're going to fly in the air to meet Jesus. I said, you put on some of these songs in your ear. It's actually, I said, that's why I'm so giddy. And plus, they couldn't hear me, so I was singing, look, as loud as I could, which turned out to be silly because by the time I got to the event I had almost lost my voice and I'm like what is wrong with my voice and she said well you were singing at the top of your lungs while we're on the plane because you know my inner man was a little still frightful you know so I'm singing these worship songs but anyway for my class what we're doing I thought this was encouraging because yesterday
this is your holy roar class
yeah we have a class because my wife and I formed a team. I guess we're the worship leaders now. I guess that's the correct term, or praise leader. I don't know.
Yeah,
how
for
you
our
want.
First service, that's right.
So we have a class called the Holy Oral. We had a visiting group that they do the same thing in El Dorado, Arkansas, and they visited our church because they had heard about it. They
really?
Said they heard about it on the podcast, and they wanted to see what was going on.
I love it.
And they were way better than us. In our class, when we were practicing, I mean, they sound like this majestic choir, and we were learning this new song.
Well, no wonder y'all were so good yesterday.
Waymaker, which is a real popular song. I mean, it'll
Did you get these folks up to sing?
Well, they sang with us. We were
I got you.
In the class, I'll give a lesson. And I do something along
Were they
the
on
line.
Stage yesterday, too?
Oh, no, okay. They weren't. So we sang a song yesterday. What we do is we learn a new song. We sang Redeemed by the Blood yesterday. With all the people are into worship. It's by, I think they're called People and Songs. Pretty simple. And so then once we do a song together, part of the team, we did one that day you came and preached. Remember when we all got up there and
yep.
sang? So we do a new one about every 6 or 7 weeks.
It was very good.
And we practice in the meantime. Of course, we're boldly going where no church has gone before. We're actually taking a cappella music because our first service is a cappella.
Right.
But we're taking contemporary songs and transforming them into something you can do a cappella where it's not cheesy. It's actually cool. I mean, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of talent, and it takes a lot of people. That's why we have the worship class. And the energy that comes from there, I'll give the lesson. Everybody's got to know their role. I kind of share exciting stuff with a focus on Jesus, get everybody fired up, and then we practice our songs. You know, it's a good little system we got going. But yesterday, before I say that, we had those visiting. Well, we also, this is weird, at 8 o'clock we're practicing because we practice for an hour if we're gonna, you know, before we get up. Well, there was a guy that came up, and I knew he wasn't part of the team. You know, big guy, muscled up, kind of tattoos on the arm, but he was coming toward me, and I thought, well, there's no security there at 8, which sounds horrible, but at our church we have security, and they kind of, you know, we have a lot of people show up just, you know, from the show and fans, and we've had a few that, you know, didn't have good intentions.
Right.
So I'm looking around, I'm like, who is this guy? And he stuck his hand out, and he's like, you know, I'm Dylan, and I'm from South Alabama. I said, well, what are you doing here at 8 o'clock? He said, well, I don't want you to think I'm some weird, crazy Duck Dynasty fan. And what I've noticed is when somebody says that, usually they're a weird, crazy Duck Dynasty fan. He said, but I came over yesterday and went out to Si's house. I said, well, let me just interrupt you. If you drove from Alabama and you wind up at Si's house uninvited, you're a weirdo. And
did
he
kind of
looked. Oh, that's what I told him. Well, that is weird.
Yeah,
you know
weird.
What I mean? I watch a reality show, and 3 years after it's over, I go up, and the craziest one, I go figure out where his house is, and I pull up in his yard. And he said, well, no, but it's good. It's good. Hang on. I said, well, what's good? And he said, well, I had listened to y'all's podcast, and I realized, you know, my life was just not where it needs to be. He said, I'm a police officer in Alabama. And he said, I just thought I'd come over here and try to get my life right. I was like, no, I like that. You know, even though you're weird.
Well, let me stop right there and interject this because you don't know this probably. First, he came out here. Of course, you know, there's a gate up here that kind of blocks. Hey, you can't get to mom and dad's house. So he winds up driving over to the lair. And Stone, my son-in-law, is in the lair with Dan. and they're working on a tire or one of the, you know, side by sides.
Stone, he's a military veteran.
Military veteran.
And he's how would you describe him?
He's not real.
He's the kind of guy I feel like that he wants someone to like try to break in his house.
Well,
so he can show you that was a bad idea.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy that it takes time to win his trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Dylan, I found this out yesterday when I talked to Stone. He comes up to the thing, and they're in there working. So he's just right outside the bay door, standing there like when you saw it. So Stone sees him over there.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I know you didn't know it. That's why I wanted to tell it, because this makes it even funnier. And Dylan will be watching, I'm sure. So, Dylan, you can appreciate this. So he's standing there outside the bay, and Stone looks over and sees Dylan, and he says, "Can I help you with something?" You know, in classic Stone face, Stone. And he was like, "Well, can I come in there?" You know, he didn't want to just walk in. You know, he's a police officer. He probably knows. Yeah. And Stone said, "Well, that depends." And he said, "On what?" He said, "What your intentions are." So this is his first time. Oh, he was like, "Well, they're good. I was just trying to get to Phil." And Stone said, "Well, he ain't here and he ain't coming here." So this, you know, he's just basically running him off. And so finally he comes in. He says, "You can come in." So he tells him kind of what he was for. He said, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know where Phil is." So then he leaves there, and that's, I guess, when he wound up at Si's house.
Look, now, he went into Si's credit.
This is a great story. I keep telling.
By the way, while you're there,
I'm really nowhere.
I think it would behoove us all in the twists and turns of life, the current situation where there are people just coming into houses of worship and shooting up the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to understand, but it makes one remember that Jesus, the most oft said thing I think he ever said, don't fear.
Right.
Don't fear.
That's right. Let me say this.
It's kind of like getting on an airplane. You're there. Some guy comes to the. It's a difference between being paranoid,
right,
and prepared.
Well,
the irony is that he was a police officer.
I know. So let me say this to the audience, because somebody else may have an idea, you're just going to show up. If you will send me an email. Al@duckcommander.com. Pretty easy to remember. Al@duckcommander.com. We would love to have you come. I mean, to know you're coming in and to set it up, but it's better if you let me know, because this is what happens if you just show up, because we have had some incidents.
Well, right. When you declare Jesus as Lord in a public way, you will be persecuted.
There
will people threaten, and not only that, they will do more than threaten. They will show up with evil intent.
Well, tell the story.
Remember, there will always be enemies of the cross, and if you look carefully at the first century, the era we're now discussing every week and before within, but if you go back 2,000 years during the Roman Empire days, I mean, most of these people who spoke out for Jesus, most of these people, most of them, were killed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, death was their reward. Remember when Jesus told Peter, "Look, when you were young, you'd dress yourself and go where you wanted to." He said, "Peter, by the way, this is in the last part of the book of John there." He said, but there'll come a time when you get old and somebody else will dress you and take you where you don't want to go.
Well, and then
John says he was, the reason he said that, he was showing Peter what kind of death he would undergo to glorify God. Right. In other words, their deaths for the cause were considered a glorification of God. Right. You died
and
for
then
it.
History.
You did well.
History, not the Bible, but there's some historical documentation that leads you to believe that when they did crucify Peter, he requested that he be crucified upside down because he didn't want to do the same thing as Jesus. He wasn't worthy to even die, be crucified.
So
like
Dad
Jesus.
And I saw the spot, supposedly, you know, it's inside the Vatican area where that actually happened. You know, they have it marked. I don't know if it was or wasn't.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So, let me finish the Dylan story.
So, Cy, you know, when the guy knocks on his door, I mean, Cy kind of had the first response like, Jay, what do you want? What are you doing here? You know, and but the guy was like, well, you know, I'm trying, you know, I just want to meet y'all. I'm a big fan, but I want to get my life right. Well, Cy shares Jesus with him. And so that's why he showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, I didn't even know what time y'all started. And Cy didn't know, which I thought was weird because Cy goes there. But
Cy wouldn't know because
that's. But he asked me, so that morning before we were practicing, he said, I was just going to see if somebody baptized me, you know, before I go back to Alabama because I made a commitment to Jesus. I said, awesome. I said, we'll do it. I said, they'll have an invitation song and you. Why don't you think about it? Because I'm always like, when somebody's ready, I kind of like almost try to talk them out of it just to make sure they're ready, you know? And so I went through it again, and he's like, oh, yeah, that same thing, you know? So I went over. I was like, well, awesome. So he did. He ended up responding. Well, I felt bad yesterday because one of the pastors came up to me, and they said, well, just go ahead and take him back there. You know, like he whispered in my ear. But I thought it was such a cool story I wanted to share, but I should have submitted to what he was saying, because then what happened, I got him up.
You could have told it from back there, yeah.
Well, I got him up, and I told the story, which I thought was awesome. But then here comes Cy, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You know, he's all fired up, you know. Well, then Cy, like, when I took him back there, well, he grabs the microphone out of my hand. And then I thought, oh this is bad. I'm glad I'm getting out of here, because we had to go get changed. And look, I hear Cy just ranting on, and I should have listened to that pastor when he said go back there and baptize him, because right. Now Cy has the mic.
So finally we wrestled the mic away from Cy. He's yelling, and you know, he's incoherent, but he's just excited.
Yeah.
And and the church is laughing. Everybody knows Cy. So it's funny. So then Jay's baptized him after we had a couple other responses. Jay's baptized the guy, and everybody's cheering and clapping like they do. Cy is he's sitting down there on the front row. He's just yelling. Could you hear him?
No.
Everybody was clapping. He's just like, hey, he's my new brother. You know, yeah. Like he just went into.
Well, to Cy's credit,
when they asked me about my brother Cy, so the audience will understand. Everyone was being filmed in our family, and all the way down from me, Cy, to my sons, daughters, wives, Miss Kay, everybody. And the conclusion reached after 4 or 5 years of the show that there was one man that actually had the talent to be on a reality show. And they said, Cy Robertson. They pointed to him. They said, because when most people will stop at a certain point and not step over that line and make a complete fool of themselves. They said, your brother will go on a step across a line. What do you think about that? And I said, well, stupidity maybe. And I said, you know, not being, he said, no, that's what you call in Hollywood talent. I said, I have learned the difference between y'all's view of talent and mine. But they said, it's actually talent when a guy will go right up to the line instead of stepping over it and acting like a fool, he'll do it.
I've asked the question all over America, who's your favorite person on Duck Dynasty? And 90% of the time, Uncle Cy.
Star of the show.
There you go.
Look, so I go into my worship class. I did, because I stayed up all night studying this. And I shared this one of the past recent podcasts about hearing that sermon from the water to the wilderness, which was a focus on Jesus' baptism and what happened. You know, God says, this is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit descends on him. This is before his ministry. Then the Holy Spirit then takes him to the wilderness,
right,
where he's tempted by the evil one, and he gets down at the end.
And there were no miracles up to that point.
No miracles at that point. I'm making that point because God was saying that, and it was before his awesome performance. And I was rivaling that to when we're baptized. I think the same thing happens. You know, the Spirit, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I believe, just like what happened with Jesus, God is declaring those things. This is my son or daughter,
if someone had,
whom I love, yeah. and I'm, this pleases me.
If someone had told me, you're going down and the new birth coming to fruition with your faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, you're reenacting that in a pool of water. God gives you his Spirit. If someone had told me, by the way, Phil, from that point on, you will reach thousands of people, I would have said, you talking to me? Rank heathen.
Yep.
And I said, you think I'm going to be waving a Bible around, hollering about you? Are you nuts? It never occurred to me what was fixing to transpire.
Yeah,
I was as stunned as I could be. I'm like, whoa.
I have a Bible
in front of me here today, and I thought, boy, if you had told me back in my heathen days that this is how it would end up, I'd have said, impossible. No way.
Right. So let me give this lesson. So yesterday I did for a worship class. I went to Colossians 1, and I just did a real quick summary of Colossians, you know, who Jesus is, you know, Colossians 1:15, he's the image of the visible God. And then chapter 2, verse 9 says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity
lives. It's basically
lives.
A mirror, Colossians 1 and 2 of John 1, which we've been studying. Right?
All the deity lives in bodily form, you know, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in Jesus, which I then went back to the baptism because you had those three parties there again. You had Jesus who is our Lord, you had God speaking, the Father, and you had the Holy Spirit coming on him. And then you had the baptism here there in Colossians 2, verse 12, you know, having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith, and the council, he canceled the code, you know, freedom, whatever. So you get to Colossians 3, and it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, which when you think about what we do when we sing together, that's what we're doing together. Now, we do it in our normal life. And he goes on to say, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. He then goes back over the same ground, put to death whatever belongs to your sinful nature. And then he gets to verse 12 and 13, and he talks about the fruits of the Spirit once again. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So I said all that to say this. It then says you're members of the same body in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It says members of one body, you were called to peace. So we're all united in Jesus as one body. And then it says this. You say, what's that got to do with singing and praising? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So what I did was I went back with this idea of the water in the wilderness. You're like this. I went back to the example of the Israelites when God led them through the Red Sea. To me, that was the water moment. If you look at, compare it to Jesus' baptism, because you know what happened after that moment, right?
Yeah.
They went into the wilderness for 40 years. But that moment, which is captured in Exodus 15, and I only have two more passages, and then I'll see what y'all think. I went to Exodus 15 because what happened after, can you imagine? I mean, here you're being chased. This is a situation with a dead end. You're being chased by an army. You're fixed to be slaughtered. And then all of a sudden, God literally opens up the sea, and you walk on dry land. Then the armies come in, and then the waters crash. Well, what happened? What was their response? What happened was in Exodus 15, you have the song of Moses and Miriam. They began to sing because they were so excited that God was on their side. It triggered that. So I was using this in my worship classes. That's what we use, singing together. We're excited about what we have in Jesus.
Time,
all the blessings.
Time to sing.
Yeah, it's time to sing. And look, that prepares us for going out into the wilderness the rest of the week. You know, I was making that comparison. So I read a little bit of the song that Moses read in Exodus 15. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. I mean, because that's what just happened. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Of course, I'm reading it, but they were singing it. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And then I love this verse 3. The song's long, but I just wanted to get this verse 3. It says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Now look, you get down to verse 20, and here's Miriam, which is Moses' sister. Look, then Miriam, the prophetess, and I define that prophetess as one who teaches and declares.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's sister, she took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. So she leads all the women.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because in Numbers, I think this is the only lesson I ever did where I went to Numbers. But in Numbers chapter 12, we had a situation, and I'm gonna get to my point. I mean, I'm giving you my lesson I did in the worship class. But in Numbers 12, Moses had married a woman from it, said she was a Cushite. And Miriam didn't like that.
Right.
And when you know, if you Google this, you'll see where all the controversy comes in on this. Because when you Google Cushite, well, it was a tribe in Ethiopia, in Africa. So you start putting two and two together and saying, well, she didn't like this because either she was a stranger, she wasn't from here, or maybe because she was black. You know, I mean, that's the kind of things that start going through your mind. But in essence, she didn't like it. And I want to read to you what happened. And the reason I read that first part is because she was a leader. She was, her and Aaron, and you can do your own research, they were basically the worship praise leaders in the whole Israel movement. You know, mm-hmm. Moses was the spokesman, and they were, you know, leading them in songs and different things
like
that.
Which is by design, because Moses didn't feel like he had that in him. Remember, he didn't even want to do it because
right.
he couldn't speak well.
So look what happens. So she didn't like it, and it says, has the Lord spoken only, this is Numbers 12, 2, has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked, hasn't he also spoken through us? Well, look, the Lord heard this, because she's out there downing Moses about marrying this woman that God had approved. You get that real quickly. Now, verse 3, it says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. What a statement.
That's a statement.
In verse 4, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, y'all come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. Uh-oh, you never want to be summoned by the Lord.
Not good.
When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. So I think at this point they think, oh, so he's done like this either. And then watch this next statement. With him, I speak face to face. Clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? This is an uh-oh moment. He's saying, you shouldn't have been speaking against him. Then the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he eventually, to finish the story, he prayed, and the Lord made it last 7 days. But here we are. Look, she has a problem with where this woman is from and maybe what color her skin is. And so the Lord, and she's running her mouth about it to the other people. And so the Lord strikes her down with a condition that affects the skin. I just think that that's a little much for coincidence. But my point is, and you say, well, why am I reading this, and why? What's the point of all this? Because when I read all that in Colossians and that review before we sing together, there was one key phrase that now is highlighted in my mind. It says, let the peace of Christ, Colossians 3:15, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We usually don't think of teaching each other through song. But here was a point where here's a woman who was leading songs for God, but she had violated a fundamental pillar of who we are as sons and daughters of God, that we're all made in the image of God.
One race.
We're one race. That's exactly right.
The human race.
And God chastised her, and he, you know, gave her a reminder that we're all one. Doesn't matter on skin color. So I've just brought that up to say that I think singing is medicine for the soul, but ultimately it leads us to the healer, which is Jesus. What we have in Christ, and that was the point in Colossians, that's where we're leading people toward. Because a lot of people can sing, and their hearts can be a million miles away from Jesus, you know? But when you're singing with that as your focus, and we're doing it together as the human race, as far as forgiven, you know, one color, the red blood of Jesus on the cross, that's when we're teaching and admonishing each other to the bigger picture. So that was the gist of my lesson.
And I'd say, I would expand on that and say part of the problem was another reason that God punished her is, and we'd had the same problem with Aaron back at the golden calf, is that because, you know, there Moses was gone, and so, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, he's gone, he ain't coming back. So Aaron winds up leading the people to do this golden calf that they all bow down to, which got a lot of people killed. So another problem within that family unit was disunity and not trusting. So yeah. Part of the problem was, I mean, I think you're right. Some of the since he obviously tells us this about this probably racism deal, but it was also this idea that they would just throw Moses under the bus pretty right. easily because
I think
he
there was
so
two
humble.
Problems there. They exactly. were talking about him behind the back. Which look in any
which
leadership,
hurts, it hurts the leadership, right? You can't.
You got
do
a
that.
Problem? You go to him and talk.
You
to
deal
him,
with
you
it.
Know,
by
it
the way, someone walked up to me a couple of weeks ago and said, you know Dwayne back there? And I looked back toward the back. They pointed, big African-American guy. He has no home. He just sleeps under bridges. He had been with us about a year. And every once in a while, someone would come up and bring Dwayne up, you know, because the laws have arrested him for whatever, you know. And so we were working with him, you know. We let him know we loved him. After about a year, he sends somebody down there to tell me. He said, tell Brother Field, I want him to baptize me today. So look, this is a guy who does not have access to a whole lot of soap and water. He's sleeping under a bridge.
He smelled, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Very much so. So here's a guy who does not smell good. He's been sleeping under bridges. But he says with determination, when I said, who's going to be the Lord of your life, Dwayne, from this step further? I have him in the pool of water, and I'm fixing to baptize him. And so he confessed Jesus in front of all the brothers there. And I did note that they all broke out when I baptized him. They all broke out in song, Jace.
Mm.
They started singing a song. You know, what can wash away my sin? Yeah. They all started singing on Dwayne's behalf. But a year earlier, it would have been easy to say, well, he's just coming in here for the food y'all have. And really, he's, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
They begin to say his motives maybe are not sincere. Y'all got a big meal plan, and it's for everybody. I don't care whether he's sleeping on top of the bridge or under it. I said, but we got a meal here. It's, you know, fried chicken in the morning, you know, donuts. So they said it'd been easy to dismiss people like
that's
that.
Right.
But you think about it, you say, the water without any soap at all, and he came out cleansed,
yeah.
Spiritually
well,
speaking.
Look, I said,
you know what I'm saying?
I said at that event the other night at Cape Girardeau, they had two guys. They were kind of a two-man band, and they were singing spiritual songs for it. They were my intro. But I noticed those 1,200 guys out there, I noticed that probably half the people weren't singing, half the guys. And I thought, because it wasn't like, I mean, they were singing I'll Fly Away, and, you know, and even modern song. So I got it. That was the first thing I said. I said, I noticed half of you weren't singing. I said, now, I hope by the end of what I got to say that your love for Jesus Christ will far outweigh
put your, songs on your lips
your embarrassment of singing out loud. I said, because I'm at a point in my life, not that I'm better than anybody, because we're all sinners. They all amen that. I said, but I'm at a point where I just can't help it.
That's right.
I'm so excited about what we have in Jesus. Oh, I just can't help it. Even though I can't technically sing, oh, I'm belting it out. And that's when I told the story about the crop duster on the way up there.
Yeah.
So victorious people sing. Well, two things, we got to run, but two things I'll note about that, Dad. One is that you're the perfect one to baptize somebody that smells, because you can't smell anything. So the Almighty knew that, number one. Yeah. Number two.
That plus I go on 4 or 5 day stretches.
Well, we got it. Yeah. So and the other thing is, I love it that the church that Dad is the plant that he's working with every week, he and Mom, it's amazing what they do, is that they baptize the people that, hey, when you're getting out, say, hey, stay in there, man, let me pitch you a bar of soap while you're in there. You know, but the idea that the untouchables and the unlovables are the people that come in, and that's what Jesus did. So
that's great.
It's a great example of why we do what we do. So good stuff today, man. That was what the journey that started out from airplanes to where we wound up. So
a homeless man with no place to go and not knowing where his next meal is going to come from now becomes a son of God, a member of the kingdom. Well, and we're all brothers.
I think some people the Lord touches and they just turn themselves in, like the guy from Alabama, and like that fella.
It's a beautiful thing.
Most of the time, we got to go to them.
That's right.
So we got to go from the water to the wilderness.
That's it.
I know what we call this podcast, The Water to the Wilderness. Today's.
I'm preaching that in 2 weeks.
Good. Oh, that's the one you're going to do?
That's what I'm going to do.
Good. And by the way, a lot of you have asked about it, so I'm preaching this Sunday. Some of you live stream. We do it if you're not from around here. It's wfrchurch.org. Jace is up the week after that. So it kind of goes in with that. I had a lot of people, some visitors that were there yesterday. I said, man, I love the podcast. I watch you guys. And then some of them are close enough.
By the way, how did the Almighty end up with having this many proclaimers, Willie and Jeff's, what he's doing out of one family group? That's pretty amazing. Now that I think about it.
Certainly his idea, wasn't it?
It was in the DNA.
We'll see y'all next time.
We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes, and it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.